Well, I'm excited that this week we're celebrating the independence of the United States of America. July 4th is on Tuesday, right? And so that is something that we do yearly. It kind of marks the midway part of the summertime, and it's hard to believe that we are, in fact, halfway through our quote-unquote summer. And I hope that you're enjoying your summer, and I've been certainly enjoying my summer. And we had some lovely weather just yesterday, got a little rain and cooled us off a little bit. And so it's been a nice summer here in New Boston, Texas. I hope it's been a nice summer where you have been as well. But when we think about July 4th, I think we think about celebrating our independence, and we're thankful for the wonderful freedoms that we have in this country. And of course, July 4th is the day that we celebrate our independence from British rule. And it was on that day that the Founding Fathers signed the Declaration of Independence and so declared themselves to be an independent nation from Great Britain in 1776. And then here we are, several hundred years later, continuing to celebrate the independence. A lot of times people look to this day as the day of the birth of our nation, and it certainly is a day that we can look back to and say, yes, that was the day at which this nation was born. But as we think about Christianity, and as we think about the Christian's relationship to his or her government, we realize that this nation is not the only nation that has existed over the many years that Christianity has been existing. In fact, there have been lots of different governments that have existed under which Christians have lived for the past 2,000 years. When we think about our nation, it's only been around for a little bit over 200 years, getting close to 250 years, I guess. But nevertheless, out of that 250 years, there have been another 1,800 years of Christianity. Christianity was born not under a government that was friendly to it, but under a government that was hostile to Christianity. Both Judaism was hostile to Christianity, and eventually, the Roman government was hostile to Christianity, at least for the first 300 years of Christianity. So Christianity thrived under governments that were hostile to it longer than our government has even been around. And that's interesting because when we think about our relationship to the government, we often think about it being such a blessing that we have the freedoms that we do have to worship God and to practice the Christian religion. And I am grateful for those freedoms. But what should happen if our government becomes hostile to us? And what ought to be the Christian's attitude, even in the face of unfriendly government authorities? Well, we find that attitude displayed for us in the New Testament. And if this attitude is one that Christians ought to have underneath a hostile government, then even more so, it ought to be an attitude that we should have under a government that is at least in many ways friendly to us. Nevertheless, as Christians, we consider the fact that our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. And although we find it a great blessing to live in a land where we have wonderful freedoms, nevertheless, those freedoms are dependent upon the rulers and the whims of mankind. If those whims should change, we could quickly find ourselves in a situation where we no longer have a government that is friendly to Christianity or to any religion for that matter. And so the Christian rests upon this fact that our citizenship is in heaven. And as we think about that citizenship being in heaven, we know that that citizenship is one that we will never lose. we know that that citizenship is one that is always going to be friendly toward us, so long as we are living faithfully and being the kind of people that God wants us to be within our life, and that we have not turned our backs upon Christ and have not rejected Christianity as God's system of religion today. So how ought we as Christians to live under any government, for that matter, whether friendly or hostile? And the Bible answers that question, and I hope that you will open your Bibles with me for a few moments to a few passages of Scripture that discuss the Christian's relationship with his government. And as we celebrate Independence Day, let's celebrate the freedom that we have to live as God wants us to live under His Word in relationship to the government that we may find ourselves under. First of all, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. As we contemplate celebrating our independence, let's celebrate by praying for our government. I'm very happy that in our prayer led this morning that we prayed for our government, and we need to pray for our government. We need to pray for our president, regardless of who it might be, a Republican or a Democrat. We need to pray for our congressional leaders. We need to pray for our senators. We need to pray for our local governments as well, for our state government, for our governor, and for our state legislature. We need to pray for our local mayor, our sheriff, and all of the ones who are in government, even in the local areas. Yes, prayer is part of the Christian who celebrates his independence in Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1 and 2, notice exactly what the Apostle Paul has to say here about prayer. He says this, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." The Christian is to pray for his leaders. He is to pray for all men, in fact. He is to think about everyone in relationship, their relationship to God and their relationship to Him, as he carries out the two great commandments, loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and loving our neighbor as ourself. And so it's going to be natural for the Christian then to pray for his fellow man, and especially his fellow citizen under the same government under which he lives, and anyone, for that matter, who he comes across within his life. Prayer should be said for all men. But notice the Apostle Paul specifically says, for kings and all who are in authority. Notice the word kings here. That's not a word that we're used to seeing in our life today, because we don't have kings in our form of government, or queens, or royalty for that matter. We have an elected president, we have an elected representative Congress and Senate, and such is the same in our state government as well. All of our representatives are elected by vote. And because of that, there is no royalty within our country. But even if we were to live in a country that had kings and queens that were invested with any kind of power whatsoever, God still expects us to pray for those people. They are just people, like we are people, and they are living in this world just like we are living in this world. They are subject to all the same temptations that we are subject to. They are all subject to the same kind of problems that we have within our life. And they have within their lives the same kind of sins that we have within our lives. And in that way, there is not very much difference from people who are in authority and in power than ourselves. And why do we say that? Because we're all part of the same human condition. We're all in the same situation as human beings. And everyone needs encouragement, and everyone needs prayers, and everyone needs to know that someone is thinking about them. Those who are in authority, kings, presidents, prime ministers, whoever they might be, do bear a measure of responsibility that God has given to them that we don't necessarily bear who are not in political office. They bear the responsibility of making sure, as we're going to see in our study, that the wicked are punished and that the good are celebrated. And that is the basic purpose of government, as God has given it. And so everyone tries to do that to the best of their ability, I presume, although we may have disagreements with those who are currently in office. But even so, even if we have disagreements, and I don't think that there's any one political leader with whom I agree with 100% all of the time, nor has there ever been. We can still pray for these people, even though we may not agree with them politically. And so we're to pray for kings and all who are in authority. Why? That we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and reverence. Now, as Christians, we are seeking to lead quiet and peaceable lives. Those quiet and peaceable lives can easily be disrupted by those who are in authority, and so much more the need for us to pray for them, that our lives would be quiet and peaceable, that they would be able to do their job in such a way so that our lives would be quiet and peaceable, and that we might live in all godliness and reverence. You see, the purpose of government under Christianity is for government to give freedom to people so that they may practice Christianity. Christianity in its pure practice is going to be a peaceable religion, a religion that gets along with others, a religion that facilitates good relationships with other people, and as a result, the promotion of Christianity as a religion is going to foster wonderful, peaceful relationships in our community and in the world at large. That is, when it is practiced as God wants it to be practiced. And so, praying for our leaders is the first thing that we should do to celebrate independence. And when we pray for them, we are to intercede for them, and we are to give thanks for them. And of course, we're to give thanks for all of our leaders, regardless of who they might be, or regardless of our disagreement with them. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. And in Philippians 4 and verse 6, we read, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And so as we celebrate our independence, let's pray for our leaders. But secondly, as we celebrate our independence, let's resolve to obey the laws of the land. Christians are commanded to submit themselves to governmental authorities. In Romans chapter 13 and verses 1 through 7, we read these words. "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes. for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render to their, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Notice that there are three basic points that the Apostle Paul makes in this text. First of all, he says that we are not to resist government authorities. That is, as much as is possible, we are to obey those laws that are made by the government that do not come into direct conflict with God's law. Let me give an example of that. If the government were to pass a law that says you have an obligation to murder your neighbor, then that would be a law that the Christian ought not to obey because it is contrary to God's law. If the government were to pass a law that says you shall not assemble on the first day of the week in order to worship God, then the Christian ought to disobey that law because it is contrary to God's law. In Acts chapter 5, in the face of the government that the apostles stood before on that day, who commanded them not to preach Christ anymore, the apostles said this, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And so the Christian has the obligation to always obey God first. But if there is any possible way that the law can be construed so as not to impinge upon the Christian's responsibility, that is the way the law ought to be construed, and the Christian ought to seek to submit to that law as much as possible. And so most laws are certainly like that. Most laws that are passed by government are laws that are designed to facilitate good relationships with one another. Most laws are laws that are designed to facilitate safety among people, such as our driving laws, the laws that we possibly interact with most often on a daily basis. And we need to obey those laws as well as all laws. We are to submit to the government. We are not to resist. When we resist government authorities, bad things will happen to us. And why is that? Because the purpose of government is to support the good and to overthrow the bad. And if we are resisting the government, generally speaking, unless we're doing so as Christians for the purpose of practicing one of God's commandments, if we resist the government, then we are doing something bad, something that God has commanded us not to do. Don't resist the government. Don't resist the authorities, is what it says here in Romans chapter 13 and verses 1 and 2. And so as much as it is possible, we need to obey the laws of the government. But then secondly, notice this, that our responsibility as citizens under a physical government, such as the United States of America, is to do good, not to do wrong. The Apostle Paul says, if you do good, then you don't have to be afraid of the government, because the government's purpose is to support that which is good and to oppose that which is evil. Look at verse 3 and 4. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. In other words, basically speaking, generally speaking, if you do good, you don't have any reason to be afraid of the government or any of the government's agents. If you do what is evil, or you do what is wrong, then you have reason to be afraid. So the Apostle Paul's solution to fear of the government is very simple. Don't do evil, do good. And that's how we need to apply this scripture to our life as well. And so we ought to do our best to go about being obedient to the laws that the government has made, and thereby do what is right. And then the third point that the Apostle Paul makes here is this, that we've got to pay our taxes. Now, that happens every year in this country on April 15th. And so that is something that each one of us who works in this country is expected to do, to pay those taxes on a regular basis. And that supports the government for doing the good things that it does and for opposing the evil things that go on in our land. Now notice what verse 6 says. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And so in that regard, paying our taxes is part of our duty to God. And we need to do that in obedience to the Lord. So as we celebrate our independence, let's pray for our government. Let's obey our government. And then third, let's honor our government. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 13 through 17. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 13 through 17. We'll look at this passage of Scripture, and then the lesson will be yours. In 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 13, Peter writes, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorant and foolish men. As free, and not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." And so we are supposed to honor our government as well. When we think about honoring our government, we need to think about honoring the purposes of our government. And we've already discussed that to some degree, but just notice specifically what Peter says here. He says that the purpose of government is to punish the evildoer and to praise those who are doing good. Now, we can honor our government for doing just that. There are some who are evildoers in our country today. And as far as the government seeks to punish those evildoers, I am certainly thankful that they are doing that job, and I honor the government for that. There are some who are doing good in our society today. And as far as the government seeks to praise those who are doing good, and as far as the government seeks to honor those, I will honor my government for that. That does not mean that I need to honor my government for praising evildoers, or that I should honor my government for doing the opposite to those who are doing good, to dishonor those who are doing good. No, I shouldn't do that. But I can certainly honor my government for doing the right things that the government does. Of course, the government is a big institution in our society today, and there are many people involved in it, and there's many parts to it, for that matter. And so in honoring it in general, that doesn't necessarily mean that I condone the evil doings of some who may be in government. It doesn't mean that I condone that. But I can still honor my government in general. And so we are to honor its purposes. But we are also to honor the people who are involved in our government. Notice verse 17 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. There is some way in which I can honor every single person who shares a government with me. I can honor them by recognizing that they are people created in God's image. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. I can honor them from the standpoint that they are people for whom Jesus shed his blood and died on the cross. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19. I can honor them from the standpoint that they are participating and supporting the government in a peaceful way. I can honor them from the standpoint that they are an they are opposed to that which is evil. And there are some things that we can agree upon with most people of what is evil. I can honor them in that I can respect them as individuals and give them the freedom that God has in fact given them to live their lives in the way that they choose to live, even though that life may be lived in rebellion against God, in a life that God doesn't want them to live. Nevertheless, I can honor the freedom that God has given them. God does not want us to coerce anyone to obey Him. God does not want us to force anyone against their will to be obedient to Him. And so, inasmuch as God has given everyone freedom to live their life, I can honor other people in that regard. That does not mean that I condone the sins that they commit within their life. It does not mean that I condone the evil that they choose to do with the freedom that God has given them. But it does mean that I, as a human being who am subject to sins and subject to doing wicked things myself, can recognize that if there is opportunity for me to be forgiven of my sins and have a right relationship with God, then there is opportunity for others to be forgiven of their sins and have a right relationship with God as well. And I will honor everyone in pursuit of that opportunity. So let's celebrate our independence this week. Let's celebrate our independence by praying for our government. Let's celebrate our independence by obeying our government. And let's celebrate our independence by honoring our government in appropriate ways. I'm so thankful that we have a very blessed situation to live in today. A situation of freedom, a situation of great hope, a situation where we can enjoy tremendous blessing. Not everyone in the world has that freedom and that hope and that blessing. And so we are to be thankful for that which we do have as we celebrate our independence this week. Perhaps there's someone here this morning who needs to come to Christ so as to be forgiven of those sins that God doesn't want you to commit. Perhaps there's someone here this morning who needs the prayers of the church as they have harbored in their hearts perhaps bitterness or evil thoughts against others or against the government. Now is the time to turn to God, to ask for forgiveness of those things, and to seek His pardon and divine mercy as we seek to live for Him each and every day. If you need to come to Christ this morning by hearing His word and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, you can then begin that wonderful, peaceful life as a Christian to live a life of prayer and obedience and honor toward others. Why not make the choice today to become a child of God and so live a peaceful life, a life to enjoy, a life of blessedness in this great country that gives us the freedom to do just that. And you can do so this morning while together we stand and while we sing.